Freehold Theater's Voices from the Edge, bringing you stories from the voices you never hear, where we celebrate the common threads that run through our unique realities.
The following is a collection of stories and poems written and performed by inmates from Washington Correction Center for Women who participated in a 5-month theater residency that culminated in a live performance of their work in the spring of 2013 and 2014.
This is Amanda reading Running by Dallas. One day I started running, and I ran. With a single shot fired over the eastern seaboard, I was off. I ran across the open prairies. I swam through swamps. I ran across deserts without ever finding a single oasis. I climbed mountains without ever seeing their majesty, for all that I had the energy for was my next labored and upward step. I ran so hard and I ran so fast that I never even realized that I had run. No, I had catapulted myself straight off the cliffs of the Pacific Northwest. The only thing that kept me from plummeting to my death was the cage which caught me. It caught me and it held fast. The chains which bound me refused my release, even though I willed and I beat on the bars. Slowly, I began to look around me, and to my shock, I realized that I was all alone. There was nothing chasing me, no demons in hot pursuit. There was nothing there but the ripped-up earth and devastation that I left behind me in the wake of my run. I began to question just what I had been running from in the first place. Sitting there alone in my cell, I finally realized what I had been running from. I was running from myself and all of the failures that I perceived as me. I ran because no matter how hard I tried, and I did try, I just couldn't be who people wanted and expected me to be. I ran because I just didn't belong, and I thought if I kept running, if I ran hard enough and if I ran fast enough, I would find this magical place where I did. Only I never stopped running long enough for anything. Once I had started running, it was just easier to keep running than it was to stop and live. Now I have discovered that this magical place can exist. I just need to create it for myself, and the first brick in its building is to forgive. So I do. I forgive myself for running, and I forgive myself for never allowing myself to become whom I was meant. I forgive myself for the road not taken, and I forgive myself for my running, for even beginning my race. I heard a poem once that asked, "Why does the cage bird sing?" And when I heard it, I thought it was a stupid song. I just couldn't understand why anything that was caged had a reason to sing about anything. But I think that I realized why the cage bird sings. These walls don't imprison me. These bars don't chain me down. My actions and my choices and my decisions have so. So yes, I know why the cage bird sings. The cage bird sings about forgiveness. He sings about redemption. The cage bird sings about me.
My name is Sherelle Neal, and I'm reading the edited version of Life in the Streets. I got a shoe cup full of rocks and a pocket full of bills, running from the boys in blue, cause I ain't ready to make no prosecution deals. This is life in the streets, making a way to eat, fulfilling ghetto dreams, running away from sexual screams that's trapped in my head. Sometimes these streets feel safer than my own bed. I got mouths to feed, supplying these fiends with the substances they need. So many different style of game in these streets, I'm telling you I find a million different ways to eat. Got account numbers for sale at 3 apiece, shoebox bundles stashed beneath my sheets. Yeah, these my grounds, my hood, this is my plate. Always questioning why God made poverty me and my family's fate. I'm too young to be living this lifestyle, but the cards I've been dealt say I'll be in this place for a while. Ghetto hood chick is what they call me, but they don't know the truth about my pedigree. Wouldn't you agree from hearing my simile that I'm what they call ghetto bougie? This is life in the streets. They flow through my veins, dodging infrared dots. I'm known citywide at all the local spots. Keep a hard heart and a hard knock be true, because when you in these streets, the only one who gonna watch your back is you.
After performing for their peers and invited guests, the women discussed their experiences and the impact of this residency.
The motivation for me was that my story is unique, and each one of these girls up here, their stories are unique to themselves, but it's something that we share the same feelings. You know, even though our stories are different and our backgrounds are different, our feelings are the same. So it's almost like we can grieve together. we can be happy together and goof around together, and not any of us would have hung out with any of each other at all had it not been for this program. We are, when I mean different, we are all different. So, you know, this motivating for me was basically that it's my feelings getting out there.
You always want to be true and authentic to what the writer has wrote. And doing that, you know, you walk in their shoes. That's the greatest thing about this process, is that you walk in each and every one of, each person that comes, you walk in their shoes and you feel it as if it was your own story.
This is Donica Strickland, and this is her arrest. The chains around her waist feel as though they weigh a ton. Fitting as it seems, they match the weight of her soul as the first buildings come into view. The words she swore just 2 years ago echo in her mind, the sound hollow and loud. A tear slips silently down her cheek. In the time it takes for that tear to fall, she closes herself up inside, where it's safe to hide until the reoccurring nightmare is over once again. As the gate opens to allow the van to enter, the gate on her hopes and dreams closes, and the warrior inside her stands sentry, guarding all that is good inside her still. As she steps off the van, her head goes up, her eyes halfway closed to affect the look that screams to anyone close she's not safe to be around. No one hears the sob that catches in her throat as the veil to her softness falls. No one hears her heartbreak as once again all her best intentions are washed away with the first shower of a 70-month sentence. Dressed in her sweats, she pulls a false smile for her ID photo and chops it up with the intake cop, grabs her lunch and takes a seat to wait for the nurse, mental health, etc. Home? Hardly. But as the faces pass the open window cell, there is only 1 out of 10 she doesn't know. Sarah, Jen, Angel, Jackie, Yvonne, Stormy, Star, they smile at her. She sees the truth in their eyes, though. She's back. Oh, my God. If I could just have one chance, I wouldn't be back. I'd never come back. How can she waste such a gift? She's not stupid or lost. This is all she knows, screams the lost little girl inside her. But the truth won't be said by any of them. They are just false smiles. And you're back. I've missed you so much. While one has the answers and the other is seeking, the two will never meet, because that would mean weakness.
This is I Am From by Carissa. I am from denying my roots because I was ashamed and didn't fit in. From a house with mums in the front yard because my brother died when I was 2. I am from custody battles in divorce court. From seeing my mom drug down the driveway because it's not my dad's weekend to take me. I am from living paycheck to paycheck, house to house, and apartment to apartment. From rollerblading with a good friend to watching the Tacoma Rainiers when they were still the Tacoma Tigers. I am from watching the Super Bowl for the first time and winning a bunch of money from the guys. From jumping off the porch of a 3-story apartment because it's fun and I was dared. From riding my bike. I am from hearing my mom's whistle and knowing it's time to get home fast. From getting high and skipping school because it was cool. From watching the Rocky Horror Picture Show and meeting my baby's dad. I am from being homeless and sleeping on benches in downtown Tacoma, sleeping under bridges, in the car, or the back of a truck. From living in the attic because there was no room for me. From living with my best friend and using her address so we could go to the same school. I am from miscarriages and new pregnancy and birth. From getting in fights that I can't even remember and breaking into houses because I was bored. I am from learning my dad almost died on Christmas and realizing I actually care. From missing my family. From the possibility of being home before 2012 and hoping my family is still alive.
This is Caroline reading Knife by Gina. It's March 12th, 1986. Today, I don't go home ever again. I have no idea where I'll go. I just know I can't go home. I walk out of the school. A couple teenagers are smoking. They ask if I want some. I get stoned. Everyone's laughing, talking about their parents. I want to fit in, so I tell them what my mom does, what she allows her husband to do after she dopes me up. Sometimes I'm not sure which makes me sicker, what she does or what he does. Everyone's quiet. people are starting to go home. I made a friend and his name was Mike. He asked me to please not go home. I tell him I can't. I tell him it's my birthday. I'm finally a teenager. He takes my hand and we walk holding hands. I'm trying to listen to him, but I can feel my mom and Matt. They drive on the street right in front of us. Matt's driving. I see brake lights. Mike says, run, and grabs my hand. I run so hard my side hurts. We find a burnt-down abandoned building. We hide. I'm crying. We hear cars, but we don't look. Mike kisses me and hands me a knife. It's a butterfly knife. I nick my hand, but I won't cry. He sees I'm shivering cold, and Mike leaves his leather coat for me. I'm practicing flipping open the knife. Click, 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 click. Before Mike leaves, he says, happy birthday, Gina. Oh, yeah, I said. I forgot. It's dark. I crawl onto the chair. It smells like burnt hair. I can still hear the cars. I can't sleep. Click, 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 click.
And I'll speak for everybody, because I work with all these ladies, is letting everybody know what's happened to you in the past, your personal stuff, and sharing it, and feeling it, and dealing with it. That is the hardest part. But we all did it together, so. That's what made it easy.
I know that when I leave from here, my light will shine. And I know that when I leave here, I'll be with my loved ones again. And I know that DOC thinks this is their time, but this is actually my time to grow.
My name is Mia, and this is I Am Injustice. I am injustice. I dress in the cloak of 12 jurors who only have guessing to do. I am injustice. I vacation in lives everywhere, ruining them one at a time. I am injustice. I make assumptions that hurt people and laugh at their pain. I am injustice. I make sure the weakest dog never catches his breath. I am injustice. I ruin families one trial at a time. I am injustice. I keep true far away from my work at all costs. I am injustice. I love to watch you suffer. I am injustice. I am related to fear and resentment. I am injustice. I breed hate and discontent. I am injustice. I will win at all costs. Step aside, for I am injustice.
My name is Kaylee Zorns. This is my country song. Life was real easy until that day. I finally felt pain in a whole new way. The love of my life had passed away. With the gun to his head, he said he couldn't stay. I would have done anything to keep him here. Instead, I woke up to my biggest fear. I was using needles to numb the pain. Not dealing with my loss made me insane. I would sit by the phone and wait for his call. They said I went crazy, but that's not all. The Bible says suicides go to hell. If that is true, God, take me there as well. Everything I see and everything I hear, the smell to my nose, the music to my ear, reminds me of my other half. I miss his love. I miss his laugh. So many questions roll through my head. Was it something I did or something I said? I'd blame myself for something he'd done. Because I was the reason he reached for that gun. I was physically dying from his death, so I got real high with whiskey on my breath. I put the 380 to my head, but the gun had jammed. I wasn't dead. A few hours later, I woke up in a cell. Now this was my life, a living hell. Prison is the reason I'm alive today. Now my son has a mother that's here to stay. With a bleeding heart, I have to move on. To live for God and to be that boy's mom.
Amanda Songer, Belly of the Whale. Here I am again in someone else's house, strung out, been up for days, and I'm dumb enough to just keep doing more dope. This lifestyle is hell. No one would choose this lifestyle because it's glamorous. We fall into it because we become stuck in the vicious cycle it produces. You love the high, the things it can bring you, and the easy money you can make. But the consequences are steep and sometimes fatal. I want to go home, get away from it all, but I don't even know what home is anymore. Within 2 years, I have lost everything, my job, my home, my daughter. I can't even pretend to be normal enough to get a good job. So I learn how to steal people's identities, take their money so I don't have to worry. I know soon it will come to me ending up in prison or dead, whichever comes first. I continue through my days in the same hamster wheel routine. Get high, make checks, get high again. My partner was arrested, and I know my time is coming. They've been looking for both of us for months. It's inevitable. I can physically feel my world breaking down, what little bit of it is left. I'll stop going to other people's places, slowly retreating from everything. Tomorrow I get to see my daughter, so I put the drugs down because I don't want to be high. My gut tells me this might be the last time I see her. I get to spend a wonderful day with her. Everything actually felt like nothing was wrong, like my life was how it used to be before I threw it all away. It was the last time I saw her, though. 2 days later, I was arrested. I feel completely numb, like I'm a shell of a person. Fast forward 8 years. I'm getting ready to get out of prison. I wasted my first 3 years doing nothing but getting into trouble. Then somehow, something clicked. I wanted to do better for myself. I worked through my addiction, through forgiving myself and others, and I have educated myself and created opportunities for myself to have a life again when I get out. My hero came through for me in the disguise of my downfall. The joint, the big house, the clink, the can, prison, whatever you want to call it, it saved my life.
Dealing with whatever it is you've got going on in your life and moving on from it, being tenacious and saying, you know what, I'm not gonna let whatever it is that's holding me down right now, I'm not gonna let it hold me down anymore. I'm gonna deal with it and I'm gonna let that load go. And I guess what I would say is if you let go of what you're holding on to, you might have a hand to help somebody else. And I think that that's a big part of what this play was about. Our intention was that we are strong, no matter who we are, what we've done, why we're here, or where we've come from, all of these different things. We are strong, capable women on this journey through the maze of life. And we're gonna help each other regardless. And if we have to do it through working together for 4 months and screaming and freaking out and then ending up with a really great play, then that's the way we're gonna do it.
I didn't plan on coming to prison, but but I always, the perception that society gives everybody on what prison's like is not real good. So something like this to show that we're still people, and like they were saying, you know, our past is our past, and you know, it's, oops. But we're normal. We're fun-loving people too. And just bring another friend next time. Let's keep this thing going. Thank you.
This is Carissa reading I'm Free by Bart. I started peeling layers of clothing off, my coat, hat, etc. It was like I peeled off hate, some anger, embarrassment, the hurt, and when I reached the top of that grave, my heart pumped, stronger, healthier, faster. I let the sun shine on my face. Then I threw all that other stuff in the grave. Bottle, pipes, abuse, crack, grief, hurt, pain. Everything that tried to bury me 6 feet under. It felt so good, I was alive and well. I felt like a beautiful flower that had blossomed. A new beginning in life. And I walked away standing tall, proud, clean, sober, a woman worthy of love, honor, trust, dignity, and respect. I'm free.
Sherelle Neal, writing chats. My heart's on a mission to be the strongest drums until I have fulfilled my purpose here on earth. Until I have given some piece of it to each individual God has led on my path of life. My heart's on a mission to be given away in a billion different forms and pieces coming together as a whole. My tired shoes take me to the arms of my baby, where in her arms I find solace, peace, and happiness. When my voice is stuck, I sing off-key to a new song and laugh at myself and praise myself for trying to take risks other people are afraid to take. My heart feels cold when I think about letting down those I love, failing as a mother, wife, sister, auntie, or daughter, because I know I have strength enough to keep trying. I see in the distance freedom, not only from these prison walls, but also the walls within my mind that have been keeping me bound for years. Freedom from the guilt of being raped, freedom from the generational curse of addiction, freedom from the need to have control over everything around me. I see in the distance freedom to just relax and learn to enjoy life.
These stories, part of Freehold's Voices from the Edge series, were written and performed by Dallas Akers, Mia Mazalek, Carissa Daniels, Amanda Songer, Donica Burris, Gina McConnell, Bart, Sherelle Neal, Kaylee Zorns, Linda Spire, Mariam Oliver, Tanya Quinata, Portia Washington, and Kelly Shoresman. Music by Beth Fleener. Special thanks to Lynn Newark, Robin Lynn Smith, Jessica Robinson, Taryn Collis, Joy Easley, Rebecca Torino Collinsworth, Caroline Brown, Eva Abram, and Sharon Williams. Made possible with support from Mark Chandler, Aaron Moore, Jenny Taggart, the Rainier Institute and Foundation, For Culture, Arts Fund, Washington State Arts Commission, Jack Straw Cultural Center, and the National Endowment for the Arts.
You've just heard Freehold's Engaged Theater, reminding us that all voices deserve an audience.